Northwood, you are in for a treat today. Phuc Dang is preaching. Call him Frank. Trust me, it's a lot easier if you're not used to Vietnamese. I came to know Phuc almost a decade ago when he came and he worked on our staff as an intern and then a volunteer. Then he wound up pastoring his own church, but in the process of all of that, he went all over the world with me, from Egypt to Afghanistan, Australia, you name it. We've been there together, meeting with heads of state and other leaders. But what makes him so incredibly unusual is that he became a Christian while a student at Tulane University, getting a PhD in mathematics. God called him to preach, and he left all of that. Currently, he's working on his PhD in global leadership. He's no dummy. He's brilliant. He's a math genius. Don't ask him about the mathematical equation for the existence of God. You won't understand it, and he won't quit talking about it. But here's why I asked Phuc to speak. There's not a single person I know in all the world that doesn't share their faith more than Phuc Dang. And see people come to faith in Christ. And we are talking about what does it mean to share your faith and let your family and your friends and your neighbors and the people you work with know who Jesus is. Phuc just doesn't teach people. He practices it. I want you to listen to him because God's hand is all over this young man. Give him a good Northwood greeting. Go get him, Phuc.
The story found in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10, when Jesus Christ appointed the 72 others to go to the town and tell them that Jesus is coming. And when the disciples came back and they told Jesus, "Jesus, Lord, because of your name, the demons submit to us as well." And Jesus told them that, "Do not rejoice because the spirits submit to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The joy of your salvation should be the center of all the activities that you do. And we found the similar teaching in the life of King David. During the time of difficulties, or even when he made mistakes, he sinned against the Lord. He cried out, "Lord, restore in me the joy of your salvation." And that's what the message today, the joy of God's salvation in our lives. I was brought up a Buddhist. I was a young Buddhist. At the age of 6, I learned all about hell. And I learned that hell is a torturous place. I learned that from my grandmother's chant Buddhist prayers. All the descriptions of hell really crushed the spirit of a young boy in me. And you could relate to that from some of the movies you watch from Hollywood. And at the age of 6, I had a desire that I wanted to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell because that is a very scary place, especially when I did something wrong. The concept, the image of hell or people really scared me. "You're going to hell." So you could imagine that all the joy, all the fun that a young boy could have when I think of hell really ruined me. I went to the temple occasionally, the Buddhist temple at the age of very early years, chanted and prayed and with the desire to look for the way to heaven. Up to the point that the monks and the Buddhist sisters, they saw the young man, the young boy, and they said, "You're such a good boy. Why are you here? All the boys out there." I said, "Ma'am and sir, I'm looking for the way to heaven. Am I good enough to go to heaven?" The answer I've learned is that, "Well, keep doing the good works. Keep it up. Keep praying. I can't tell you that. If you are fortunate enough, you might become a better person next life. But if you do terrible things, you become an animal, and that's all you might be." Again, I could not find the answer in the Buddhist temple. For the years to come, for 12 years, I lived in the bondage of the fear of hell. When my family moved to the remote place, a remote place from the countryside to the city, Saigon, that is, I remembered vividly that there was an elderly lady in my neighborhood And every morning, my favorite part is to wake up and to just watch her walk slowly to the Catholic Church. I woke up every morning just to watch her, observe her to go to church, and secretly wished that I could trade my life. I could replace my life. I could change my life, the 10-year-old life with an 80-year-old elderly lady. But that was impossible because for some reason, I just learned that she would go to heaven and I would go to hell. So the fear continued to haunt me until 1990, when my father sponsored the whole family from Vietnam to the U.S. And then my father said, "Shall we go to church together? I would like to introduce to you all to my new religion I've learned in the Baptist church in New Orleans." So we all went with my father. One of the first sermons I've learned in that church is the passage when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father. No one could go to heaven but through me." Could you imagine what it's like for me to hear that passage from Jesus? I could relate to the stories of a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years. When she touched Jesus, she was healed. A beggar at the temple, when John and Peter came and said, "All I have is Jesus, stand up." He jumped for joy. He forgot who he was. The leper who was healed by Jesus and returned to say thank you, and many stories like that. And 12 years, all the joy. When I thought about hell, it ruined my life. And now Jesus came. The joy of his salvation, I studied more about him. It makes sense. Why wouldn't anyone tell me that I could go to heaven? It was okay because not many believers in Vietnam at that time. The joy is like this, that I could relate to the story of a mathematician named Archimedes, lived 3 centuries before Jesus Christ. Remember when he discovered the buoyancy theory? He discovered that theory when he was in the bathtub, and he was so joyful. He found that theory. And he just jumped out of the bathtub naked and ran around the city of Athens and shouted, "Eureka, I have found it! I have found it!" At first, the people of Athens did not know what he found. They saw a naked man. Pastor Bob did not teach me like that. Nuh-uh, he didn't. Or did he sometimes, I wonder? The point is, he was naked, but he was not ashamed. The joy he found was beyond his human nature. And I thought, wow, he found that and he was naked, but yet he was not ashamed. This is the news, not just for me, but for everybody. Why would I shut up? Why would I remain silent? The joy is for everybody, it's not just for me. So that is like my joy. You like to know what makes you run around and share the good news. And that is the joy that I could relate to. The joy of his salvation really transformed my life. And I just simply thought to myself, if I could not do anything else in my life, this good news is enough, or has been enough for me to live and to share. And the impact of the joy of salvation made me wonder, what if coming to the U.S., it's not just for me to reunite with my earthly father, but to reunite with my heavenly father. So I began to study the Word of God, and I sense his presence all over the place. And I learned that, wow, I am brought here really for his glory, to reunite with my heavenly father. And uh, I uh, I begin to look at my life and I see that I was left in Vietnam for a number of reasons. But among those is this, that in my culture, Vietnamese culture, obeying your parents and honor your parents and obeying the authority, it has become a part of my nature. So when God becomes my Heavenly Father, the desire in me truly want to honor Him and share His great news to whoever I meet, wherever I go. So I love to delight in Him by sharing His glory for everyone that I meet daily. And that is my story. And I began to share my faith to Buddhists from where I live, to the Muslims, to atheists, to whoever I give, whoever I see every day. And that I wish I have time to share with you, because we know we have to wrap it up in time. This is the principle that I've learned from the Gospel of Luke. If you would turn to the Gospel of Luke, and I briefly share with you the principles I've learned from the fisher of men that Jesus Christ taught us in the Gospel of Luke. And my brothers and sisters, Northwood, it is a privilege, it's a great joy to pray for people accept the Lord in libraries, in restaurants, in the airport, in prison, in your neighborhood, in stadium, you name it. By the grace of God, I have received and experienced those joy. So in the Gospel of Luke, Christ simply taught us this. After this, the Lord Jesus Christ appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place and where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move from house to house. When you enter a house and welcomed, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near." And we, if you put all of these teaching, the verses together, I conclude there are four principles that I've been practicing in my life. And that is, the first one is, be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker. The foundation in my life is the joy and obedience. Simply follow what God teaches in His book. And the principle of the fisher of men, the principle of reaching the heart of the people is, be a peacemaker. And as you see that, be a peacemaker. Second one is, be a family member. When you come to a house or neighborhood, eat and drink whatever they give you and just stay there. Be a family maker or be a family friend. Third, heal the sick. Meet their needs. Be a healer. And fourth one, be a kingdom messenger. Share them the story. You just heard from Pastor Omar. And among those stories I have shared Christ, this is one, there's one of the stories like this. One time, an elderly lady who is 65 years old came to my church when I pastor a church in Haltom City. And she just came to my office and she just cried, "Pastor Frank, I would like to have my son back, who is 40 years old and he has mental illness. I'm a Buddhist. I could not find any other help. I come to your office, humbly ask you for help. Would you like to come to my family?" Normally, we seek for people for such opportunity, but this time it's different. The mother approached to me with a burden for her son, and you could relate to the stories in the New Testament. "Ma'am, yes, give me your address." Long story short, I came to her house, and she said, "My son is in the backyard with his own room, but be careful. Just be careful. If he chased you, run real back and I will stop him. I hope that when he saw me stopping him, he might yield." I said, "Okay, this is a different scenario, Northwood." I was nervous. I walked to his backyard, to his room. And the mother said, it's been 3 or 4 months. He had not taken a bath. All he had on his body is just a short. And he smoked. And the cigarettes are there. And the bones that he chewed. Northwood, when I saw him from a corner of a room, his eyes were red. He looked at me. And I just calmly, Mr. High, my name is Frank. And I'm a pastor in the community. I'm just here to help your parents and see how I could help you. He gave me a look that you could relay that it is hard. He's not longer who he is. That's what the mother cried out. Make a long story short, he was brought to the hospital, the man to hospital for several times. But at this time, the parents were old and they could not take care of him anymore. Both of them, the parents cried out to me, would you do any way you could to help my son? I called for help and I do everything I could, going through all the procedures and documents and papers. We brought him to the hospital. And then a month after that, the father of that man called me and he said, I am so grateful to all the works that you do. What can I do for you? I have observed you for many months. You've been the way you help my son. What is in you, young man? Simply, I listened to his story and then I asked the mother's story. And she said, you know, when I was in Vietnam, I was almost became a Christian, but life was too busy. I wish that this young man could be a priest. But for some reason, the war broke out and all of that. I listened to their stories and I said, why don't you think that God is still watching you all? Ma'am and sir, there is no greater joy for me to see you both know that God continue to love you and he never forsake you all. At that place right there, the husband, the man who is 7 years old, he accepted the Lord. And I learned that the week after that, he died. His wife called me again and said that, Pastor Frank, only wish I have right now is to bring my son back. He is now back to normal. It's been 6 months. Would you be able to help? I said, okay. Again, beat all the odds. I said, God, Jesus, would you help? By the grace of God, at the funeral of his father, I brought the young man home. And the mother was so joyful. And she accepted Jesus Christ. A week after that, she died at the age of 68. And Mr. High, which is the mental person, had to be brought back to the hospital because after 3 months, he refused to take medicine. His brother could not let him live in his home. He hit others. He yelled. He screamed. He talked to the shadow. So I was brought to the scene, brought him to the hospital again. This time was it. 6 months after that, I received a phone call. It was a strange number. I said, who's this? He said, it's me. Hi. Did you remember me, Pastor Frank? No, it's me. I remember what you shared. I'm awake now. Come help me. I ran to the hospital. I learned where he is, gave him food, and then he was given a house to live with other people, came to his home, shared Jesus. Now, would you accept Jesus or what? Yes, I'm ready. It's unbelievable. It's all by the grace and the power of God. And now he reads the Bible, the Word of God. Just last week, I took him to the Vietnamese market just to eat with me. Make a long story short, his parents accepted the Lord. He accepted the Lord, his brother and his sister. This is another story, which is linking to the principles, be a peacemaker, family member, healer, and a kingdom messenger. Another story just right here from our Northwood story. There lives a family a few blocks from here, Mr. Yan and his daughter takes piano lesson from one of our members, the family of Adams, Miss Marion, the piano teacher. And Miss Marion had a dinner to invite them over, and I was invited because we are Vietnamese. Make a long story short, I learned that Mr. Yan, he had gone through a number of surgeries. And his wife told me that all I need for him is to have some kind of a faith because he's worried about his health, his family, his daughters. And I just want him to have a faith. I'm a Buddhist, a pure Buddhist. Don't touch my faith. And Mr. Yan, he was a Buddhist. And he told me that he has a great respect for the Adams family because the way they live their life, the way they organize their life and their faith beautifully, but he doesn't know how. So make a long story short, every Wednesday I've come to his family, just talk to him, listen to him, all of his stories. And one time before Pastor Bob took me to Afghanistan, I told this family, I told Mr. Yen, sir, your stories are wonderful, and I have shared with you my faith. Now, I'm about to go to Afghanistan. If I did not see you again, if I don't see you again, I will look for you in heaven, and you know how to get there, okay? I spoke with all my heart. So I went with Pastor Bob. 3 weeks after that, I came back, and he told me, come back, come here, come here. You know, the week after when you left, I was so painful because of my pain in my body. I prayed to spirits, to Buddha, and to your God, the Bible, the God of the Bible. And the God of the Bible spoke to me that I have listened, I have heard your prayer. Make a long story short, when the surgeon asked him what religion you are, if you're willing to share, and he told me, Pastor Frank, you know what I told him? I told him, I am a believer of Jesus Christ. I almost jumped out of my chair and hugged him, but if I did so, he would be dead by now. And I told him, what about your wife and your family and your two daughters? And he told me, don't ever touch my wife. That is a totally picture. Her family, they are Buddhists. They are monks and sisters. But here is the picture. He lived his life to the point that his wife saw something in him and she wants to have that. And then the restrictions she had is her parents. She has a brother who has difficulty in his family with marriage and with the sons. So when Mr. Yan told me, Pastor Frank, we have a way to come in and help, I was introduced to him. Here's a point. Mr. Yan's wife, in the middle of the night, she fell and she went unconscious. Mr. Yan called me at 3 a.m., I helped him to the hospital, and the family, the parents knew that there is a pastor, and they called me, would you help her and help my son as well? Make a long story short, the whole family was baptized a few months after that. He was baptized at Northwood. Mr. Yan was baptized at Northwood because of the great work, the foundation that the Adams family has laid in his life. The two daughters of Mr. Yan right now, the oldest daughter now is the youth leader in the church that I pastored years ago. She is the backbone of her church. And now the generation of the family is being transformed into a new believer. Northwood, I could go on and on, as I said. But here are a few lessons I've learned from evangelism, the challenges. You ready? First one is this. What keeps us from sharing our joy of salvation? And the first one I've learned about self-consciousness. We're afraid of rejection. We're afraid of embarrassment, being yelled at or even cursed at, or even mocked at. Daily when I share the tracks with people I see at the gas station, sometimes this happens. Forget it. Forget the, you know, they pretty give harsh word and throw the tracks in the trash. I said, I come with sincerity, with respect, and I take no offense. I would pick up the track, clean it, because it's colorful, it's beautiful, and the content of the material is life. It's okay. It's all about Jesus. Amen? So I looked, and I see another person walked into the grocery store, very sad face, and he walked out with a beer on his hand. And I quickly just approached to him and said, sir, with all respect, this is the great news that changed my life. I love for you to have it. He just took it and he walked to his car. I was pumping gas in my car and I heard someone honking behind me. He gave me a smile, a beautiful smile, different than the face down that I saw. He said, thank you. The joy was too much to not to try. It's all about Jesus. And Northwood, to be honest, you see me, I stutter pretty bad. I argue with our father, why can't you turn my tongue loose so I can be fluent? And English is not my language. What's going on? One time I stuttering too bad that the lady could not understand me. Young man, what are you trying to say? I took a deep breath. I said, ma'am, Jesus changed my life. And I love to share this great news with you. And she looked at me. I said, uh-oh, here it comes. What a great faith in years I have seen. I haven't seen this. I don't mean to boast, but she said that I felt, God, that was you speaking. I said, so keep me stuttering. I don't care. Because he spoke to me clearly that when you stutter, when you're nervous, but yet you do it, it's not you. It's me doing through you. Lord, your power is made perfect in weakness. And keep me retarded, whatever you want me to, just because the news is enough. Jesus is enough. I was about Northwood. I believe simply, Jesus is enough. And the second lesson is this. Self-importance. Nowadays, we are somehow too busy, right? We are too busy with cell phone, with technology. We even ignore people surround us, near to us, standing with us, walking in our neighborhood, and on and on. And sometimes, yeah, we focus a little too much on ourselves and on our families. I do too. But yet, the joy of his salvation, it is beyond the needs of a human life, because that is eternal life, and we could impact people eternally. And the third one is this: lack in the word and in our intimacy with him. Lack in the word and worship. John Stott said this, and I truly agree with him, that whenever Christians lose their confidence in the word of God, it is when we lose our zeal for evangelism. Amen? Conversely, whenever we are convinced about the Word of God, convicted by the Word of God, it is when we are determined for evangelism. And when I study the story of his resurrection, Jesus' resurrection, you see that he always pointed back to his teaching, the Word of God, to remind the disciples that his Word is true and the Word of God is life. And I believe this. If we don't have a relationship with the neighbors, with friends whom we share, live close to us, it's very difficult for them to trust in our message. And if we don't have an intimacy with our Father, then we have no message to deliver. Would you agree? So it takes both. To God, intimacy with God, the communion with God, and the relationship with our neighbor, with our community. Keller, as Pastor Bob said, we have 300,000 people living in Keller. And the third one is lack of practice. Pastor Omar just gave us the motto, sharing stories. And our stories simply try to condense in 2 or 3 minutes. It's like fast food nowadays. In 3 or 5 minutes, we hear their story, our friends' stories, and then we share our stories in 2 or 3 minutes. Brief, to the point, biblical, and sincerity. When I walk out of my neighborhood, sometimes I make mistakes, I'm a clumsy, sometimes marriage does not go the way you wish, but that time when Jesus speaks to me, are you ready? Yes. When I speak, open my mouth, this is the great news that changed my life. I really speak with all my heart. People can see that from our face, can see that from the sincerity that we have. Amen? So, last one is what? We do not have a model. We don't have a model. And we don't want this to happen to our children. So I would like to encourage you to be the model for your children, to be comfortably and naturally share the Word of God. My daughter, Tam, 6 years old, every day she comes home, not every day, but once a while, she said, this teacher knows Jesus. My friend, this one, she names them one by one. This one goes to church, this one doesn't. And I told Pastor Bob, and he said, Frank, I wonder where is that from? So, in conclusion, in Buddhism, I could not find the answer. In the Catholic woman, I cannot let others do the work for me. Just simply, the joy of his salvation turned me into an obedient servant. And it's a challenge to share Christ daily. But we share that through his joy of salvation, with the conviction, with the Word of God, we can last all day. Amen? So would you stand with me? Here is the verse that I wish I could speak with action, but we can only speak with His grace. It's like Thomas, as we're approaching the Good Friday, and Thomas told his friends, in the New Testament, let us go with Jesus and die with him. Can we say that? Let us go with Jesus and die with him. So that the resurrection this year is not just to remember about his resurrection, but to celebrate the resurrection of our faith through the joy of his salvation. And like Pastor Bob always reminds me, Frank, wake up. The people are going to hell and you are sleeping. It's like Paul telling the churches, wake up, all sleepers. Rise so that Christ Jesus will shine in you. Simply put yourself together, share the stories, how God has transformed our lives, and simply pray, and may God be with you all. Father, Lord, we know that your news, the joy of salvation, is the greatest miracle of all time. And Father, we know that we share your word. We should and we must, with joy and sincerity daily. But sometimes, Lord, we are limited. So at this time, Father, I pray that, as King David said, Lord, restore in me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with thy Holy Spirit, in the same way that may you bless Northwood, so that, Father, every single member of Northwood become a daily witness to this town, this Keller City, come to know you and make an impact to the ends of the world. And this, Father, we pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. You can be seated.